Scott Laughlin here, very confused, joined on the line by Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Scott. How you doing?
I'm all right. So you're at your office at Wesleyan, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Are you teaching classes this summer?
We actually have just a May term session.
Oh, you guys are still in that?
We don't have classes at this point.
All right.
And so I'm into handle administrative kind of some administrative chores and a few other things, and then I'm off to City Hall and I bounce around like Roger Rabbit.
Like a pinball. Hey, you know, I was going to say, you're certainly welcome to come in. I missed the days when you were here in the studio.
Well, maybe we could do that in 2 weeks.
And your cut off shorts and your tank top. Yeah. Coming from the gym. Yeah. Could you shower before you get here, though, please? Could you shower before you get here? If you're leaving the gym, you just come right here. We'd appreciate
that. I think we can make that happen.
All right. What else? What else?
Pretty reasonable request, Scott.
I have notes here. Am I to wish you a happy birthday today? Is it today?
Oh, it's tomorrow, actually.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm 39 again.
Yeah, okay. All right, so happy birthday. Get that out of there. And I think that's it. All right, let's talk about the city council meeting Monday night. I was watching, Terry, and I got a kick out of the fact you thought you were going to get out of there in 48 minutes. You were all jacked. I'm surprised you didn't spring up out of your seat and run out of the room. Until you realized, oh my gosh, we haven't even talked to the city manager yet to get his comments.
We had those the comments. I think we were still out in under an hour. We actually had started several hours earlier than that, so we'd had several meetings, and then we had a executive session at 5:30, and then a regular meeting at 5:40 to discuss shared sales tax and some of the stuff. So we had been there for many hours actually at that point.
All right, you said the magic word, shared sales tax. The council voted not to even pursue it. And did that come as a shock? Let me ask you this. I asked David Hales this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, were you surprised by the time this all went down that it went down the way it did, or did you have a feeling? Do you poll city council to see where they are?
You know, I certainly talked. I mean, we should be certainly talking to each other. I was surprised, both. You know, I certainly had a feeling that there were some, frankly, I think, misunderstanding about this. This was a concept. This really wasn't even a proposal yet. And that's, you know, city policymaking happens sometimes in very different ways in the real world. And so this happened to come out of a discussion of a couple council members from each of the communities and the two mayors at One Voice in Washington after, you know, we had Distill going in one direction and then we had Kroger going in another and said, you know, could we do something, maybe act as twin cities together to make sure that it doesn't matter which side of Division Street a business locates or relocates in? And that essentially was the concept. The concept beyond that would be, you know, you'd share sales tax. So if a city, and we'd probably, you know, work more closely together. So rather than to say, hey, you know, business, come to Bloomington, or hey, come to Normal, we could be working together saying, come to Bloomington Normal. Mm-hmm. We will find you the best location for your business, regardless of which side of Division Street it's on. And so that was really the concept. There wasn't really much more to it than that, other than we would have, a possibility. It would be an end date or periodic review of this. There would probably be a circuit breaker. So, you know, if it diverged much from 60-40, you wouldn't give, you know, one community wouldn't rebate too much money to the other community. But right, you know, so that roughly it's 60-40 in population and roughly 60-40 currently in terms of sales tax receipts. So, you know, if we had gone forward with this and we could come up with an agreement in the details, you know, if there was an imbalance up front, you could make it 60.1
mm-hmm.
to 39.9 or whatever. That's why I don't know some of the statistics that people cited on Monday. I absolutely have no idea where they could possibly come from.
Is the city of Bloomington, is your budget 60% more? Or I shouldn't say, is it 20% more than that of a Normal?
Well, no. The baseline would be 50. In other words, if you're going from 50 to 60, from 40 to 60, it would be about 50% more. If you understand, if we were, and that's roughly the case in terms of the budget. Our budget is approximately $200 million. Town of Normal's, you know, again, would be probably a third, a little more third, less than that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, and we had R.C. McBride on the other day. It was his idea. I mean, he's the one that brought this up, right?
Yeah, I was at Normal Town Council. R.C. McBride from Normal was there, and Mayor Chris Koos, Alderman Jim Fruin from the Bloomington City Council, and Alderwoman Amelia Burgess. And again, we were talking about this in concept. Now, I was asked about a week or two after we got back from One Voice, just by chance on WGLT, has there been any discussion of a shared sales tax? And of course, I'm not going to say there was no discussion. So essentially, you know, I was the leak because I was asked the question. So then we did circle back with each other and said, okay, you know, since now we have some people in the local media that are going to be focusing on this, how do we proceed? And so at that point, we asked the EDC, the Chamber of Commerce, the BN Advantage Economic Group, and they all were very supportive. So once they were, we did gather one more time, the same group, and said, okay, how do we and when do we bring this to our city councils for discussion? And so that's pretty much what happened here. Again, we should be talking to each other, and I don't know at the end of the day that we could have come up with an agreement.
Yeah.
But I think in concept, everybody was interested in not having range wars and not having.
But you can still you can still do that. I mean, you could work collectively because if you bring something in, and I'll use Mitsubishi as an example. I don't know, you know, land something that big, but both cities benefit from a State Farm. Both cities benefited from Mitsubishi. You're talking sales tax. How many people come to town looking for a handout from the city of Bloomington? Hey, we want to build here. What do you have for us? Because if you don't have what we want, we're going to go talk to Normal. Does that even happen?
It maybe not quite in the raw way that you're talking about it. Again, there've been some rumors about how things played out, and you know, I can only attest to the things that have happened in the last 3 years and some since I've been mayor. And what you had with Kroger, for example, Kroger did want to make a decision. They wanted to expand their current facility. From their standpoint, as they're making a business decision, they don't care that they're on one side of College and they move, you know, really 1,000 feet or so away on the other side. They did ask for very small but modest, you know, or modest incentives as a rebate. And I forgot the exact dollar amount. I can get that to you. You know, over 10 years, a small increment of the sales taxes in order to come in to build a $25.7 million project. And I did talk to mayors in other communities and said, you know, this is kind of a predicament. And pretty much, well, every one of them said, you're sort of stuck. You can't not give a very modest incentive to get a $25.7 million superstore in your city. You know, so it's sometimes you're faced with these kinds of situations. It is possible, though, Scott, let's say that we had a shared sales tax, we would very likely not have had anything to offer, you know, Kroger for them to move across the street, right? If it's totally irrelevant from the standpoint of pooling the sales taxes. Again, these are things that we don't know because you can't rerun history. And
well, where would they have gone? What if you would have said no? No, we're not going to do this. What would they have done? You think they're going to leave town?
That's a good question. Or would they? Who knows? I don't. Yeah. Obviously, that's a hypothetical. I can't answer. But again, this was just the concept. Would be we'd work together, and then we could probably have more collaborative work, you know, operations with both of our economic development teams, because both of them could work together to bring business to either community.
Well, obviously, the two towns weren't working together because the whole concept was probably to keep this from happening. I'm assuming it was to keep it from happening again. Was Normal aware that you were talking to Kroger? Did they feel slighted in any way?
No. I mean, they knew that it was a possibility. Part of it is that we didn't know that they were going to be able to get a deal on the land. Once the land deal was negotiated. I did tell Chris Koos, you know, at that point. And so, but that was, a lot of that happened very quickly. And I believe that was January 25th or something like that. That is part of the issue is that, you know, if something's hypothetical, or maybe it won't even play out. At what point do you tell your intergovernmental neighbor about what's going on? And so those are the types of things that we can work out. But let's also be clear, though, we've got over 100 intergovernmental agreements between Bloomington and Normal. I mean, so we work together on a lot of things. You can take your library card, for example, in Normal and come check out books in
all
Bloomington.
Right. So why not consolidate the two towns? Somebody called and wanted me to throw that question at you. Now's the perfect opportunity. Why doesn't Bloomington Normal just become Bloomington Normal, one council?
Well, that's
taxing body.
That is certainly possible. I'm guessing, though, that both communities, there would be people in both communities that would not want to unite. So this would be a piece of that. This would have been, in a sense, pooling sales taxes. This would have been, in a sense, a minor step, if you will, in that direction. But you'd still have had the two governing councils, and then they have different philosophies for land use and lots of issues. So, again, that could be something that's on the table in the future.
All right, lightning round here. Somebody called, wanted me to ask you this question. I don't know anything about these numbers. They seem odd to me.
Uh-huh.
City Council, Laura's writing. The City Council budget, is this the budget went from $75 million to $200 million in 4 years?
No, that's absolutely not accurate.
All right.
Somebody's confusing. We do have all funds now are about $200 million. Someone's referring to the general fund with $75 million. Now, the general fund did go up quite a bit, but it's not because we were doing anything different. It's because of accounting standards. The GASB, government accounting standards, changed. We had to take funds that had not been in the general fund and put them in the general fund. Now, our costs roughly go up a little more than 2% a year. We're not doing anything more than we haven't done in the past. One of the exceptions this time, of course, our budget did jump because we were raising money for mental health. And the water department and sewer had been putting money away for many years to put money in capital projects. So to the extent that we have spent more this year, it is because we're putting the pedal to the metal on streets, sewers, infrastructure. That's the big component.
So just to correct this guy, the budget wasn't $75 million 4 years ago, and it's now ballooned to $200 million.
No.
All right. Hey, I want to go back.
Actually, if they want to come talk, if anybody's listening here, if you want to come talk to me, you can come either to my mayor's open house or call me and make an appointment, and we'll go through it, and you can see where your money's going, because that's very critical. And I'm honored that we're getting another award for transparency. So if anybody has any questions like that, have them just stop by City Hall, and I'll explain it.
All right, let's go back. I want to go back to the sharing of taxes. Do you think this will be is this dead, or is it going to be readdressed on down the road? I think you want it, and I think Mayor Coos wants it.
Yeah, I think we can continue to talk about this. Probably not before the elections. Probably will not happen. There may be new council and new mayors at each end, and I think this is something that will any kind of intergovernmental cooperation, so that we can do the best for the entire community, I think will continue.
Several people stood up again Monday night, voicing their opinion on the rates that they may be charged for these gambling machines, and City Council says, you know what, we want to talk about this. What kind of feeling are you getting now? Do you think that the City Council is going to go ahead and go with the recommendations of the Liquor Commission?
I honestly don't know. I think it'll be a close vote. It was a close vote on the liquor license fees. The big picture here is the last time liquor license fees or anything had been passed was in 1982, early in Reagan's first term. So taxpayers, citizens of Bloomington, have been footing the bill for the increased cost in law enforcement related to liquor, and then especially liquor when combined with gambling. And so that was the impetus for changing some of the liquor license fees that were very small, over a half decade, and will still be, about where Normal is today. So very small changes. And virtually every other city, not all, but almost every other city of our size or comparable has had added some sort of fee for video poker for a lot of reasons, mainly for cost recovery. So we will see what the City Council does. There could be a $200 machine option, a $500 machine option. Let's be clear. We're talking about an industry where over $50 million is put in to these machines in the city of Bloomington. So over $1 million a week, and the liquor enforcement associated with that has been borne by the taxpayers, and so we should have some sort of cost recovery.
All right. Finally, real quick question here:
sure.
Where's Portillo's going?
Good question. I don't know.
Ah!
My
killing me.
My my colleague in Normal, Mayor Coos, would have a little more information on that. And what I've heard lately is not directly from Chris. I've heard it through the rumor mill, so rumor mills are rarely accurate.
All I know is I got this from EDC, Michael Grady. They need 4.5 acres of land.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I understand. Yeah, and then that
it's going
to be difficult to do on that site.
Yeah, and I started asking all kinds of questions. All right, is the land developed now or not? Is there corn or soybeans on the land we're talking about right now? And he just shake his head. He wouldn't tell me.
Okay.
All right, I'm getting nowhere on this one. All right, Terry, good talking to you. We'll do it again in a couple
of
weeks.
Thank you so much, Scott. You take care.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.